shoot. Luke chapter 10.
Good. Connie's gonna do the prayer. I think she might
Oh,
have done it
prayer.
last week.
I did do the prayer last week.
Well, it must be, want to be done by you again.
It must want to be done.
Yes.
Are you sufficiently reverent now?
Am I through with business and now am I being reverent? Yes.
Okay. Dear God.
Oh. Whole night could go this way, but I hope not. I was saying, I'm terribly sorry.
Tell God, I mean.
So we've just begun recording.
Okay.
So we can start all over again. So welcome to Growing with NTI.
Hello, good evening.
It's Connie and Jacqueline. Tom's out of town.
We're about to say our prayer.
And we're about to say our prayer.
And of course, our prayer is for willingness. We'll pretend Tom's here, and that's his prayer. Yes, please God, let me be willing, let me be open. Let me speak your words tonight and not my own. Thank you.
Amen. Sweet. Okay. Okay. So, Cheryl says she can barely hear you, so maybe I'll just turn that microphone that way a little bit. She was praying, Cheryl. She's trying to be quiet.
That was my humble voice. Humble, humble.
We're at
Luke chapter 10.
And look who just joined us, Marge and Debbie.
Marge and Debbie.
Hi, Marge and Debbie.
They are good family.
Right, we're at NTI, Luke chapter 10. Give no thought to what you are to do. Oh, this is on page 146, NTI. Give no thought to what you are to do in the next moment of time. When that moment of time comes, ask me then what you are to do. I will answer you in that moment. For each moment brings with it its own opportunities for healing. But if you're thinking of another moment in this moment of time, you miss the opportunities that are given in the current moment. In this way, your healing will seem to take longer because you're not using the time you've been given for the purposes of healing.
Yeah, and I got a couple things to say about that short little paragraph. One, it can only be in this moment, because otherwise we're living via a formula. Because how else would we be directed in the next moment, except to say, this is what I need to do in this moment. So just being open to hear what's needed in the current moment is what is important.
Yeah, and it's funny to see this here because I've been seeing people talk about it, so you know what that means. That means it's up into my awareness for a reason. But talk about, withholding yourself from the current moment, because you're always giving yourself to a moment that doesn't exist. Either to the past or to the future, and those things absolutely don't exist. So, I'm always withholding myself from actually being here now. And just it's just real cool to see it here, see it written here. That's all.
And then the last sentence, it says, in this way, your healing will seem to take longer if you're not in the current moment, because you're not using time you have been given for the purpose of healing. And I think the Course of Miracles rightfully says the only reason to study the course, to read the course, to bother with this at all, is to shorten time.
here. Ready? Think not for yourself. Remember that it is your thinking that has brought you to the point of needing healing. Yeah, and the Course says, resign as your own teacher. Yeah, you are the problem. relinquish your own thought and trade it for my thought. Now is the opportunity to trade. Go filled with my thought and do not question the thought that is given. Okay, I'm waiting. Go ahead.
Read sentence 10.
Lay down your own thought now. Hey, there's a good sentence. Lay down your own thought now, and I will fill you up with my thought. Go filled with my thought, and do not question the thought that is given. When you're tempted to question and to once again find your own thought, remember the purpose of your journey. Joyously choose my thought again. Yeah, you go.
I was going to say, you know, when you've been doing this writing, you've had this experience of having Holy Spirit's thought, you started with that, and correct me if I'm wrong, you started with that with just writing and assuming that it was Holy Spirit's thought. Maybe not 100% sure. So, would you say that to have this experience of giving up our own thoughts and going with the Holy Spirit's thoughts, would you say, like you might sit there and question, say, this is my thought, Holy Spirit, what is yours? And then whatever came to you, would you just assume that that's a Holy Spirit's thought? It's kind of like you're writing it with. Trying to make that.
I think it's really difficult to describe what's going on with the of course Connie's talking about the what's going on with me, and you know the inspiration that I've been writing from the Holy Spirit, and I think it's kind of hard to describe because I don't know that I would say what you just said. If it's my thought, I know what my thoughts are, and I know how worthless those are. So that, you know, it's not a lot of help. But really, it's really I'm trusting in my willingness, and trusting that my prayers are truly answered. I mean, so when I turn to Holy Spirit and go, "Hey, I need to hear from you," I trust that what's coming through is from Holy Spirit. So I can hear when I want to come in and fill in like the rest of the line with one of my thoughts. I had that experience a couple of weeks ago when it said something about as you are, and I wanted to say, you know, and I wanted to define what it was that I was. and I couldn't write anymore because that just didn't feel genuine anymore. I could feel that it was me getting in the way. So
well, what about for those that are everything we write like that feels disingenuous.
Well, and I can say that often this is, and then I go back and read it later, and I'm going like, oh, there's no way that Jacqueline would have written that, even what I read to you a while ago.
I was going to say, I mean, to me, when you read it, that's true, but I'm asking you from somebody that's not having that experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to write and you have to ask and trust. So write and trust. So you say, you know, like I did today, what would you, you know, I'm dealing with this particular issue, which is frankly is a little disillusionment, a little depression. And you know, and I ask the question and, you know, so what would you have me know about this? And then just start writing. And, you know, so what if the first 10 sentences came from Jacqueline, right? Because they all ultimately come from this one that I've identified as Jacqueline. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they all ultimately come from my own being, you know, and they're deeper levels of my being, you know, and hopefully I get in touch with those levels. But I mean, you just have to write trusting that because you've asked, ask and it shall be answered unto you. Knock and it'll be answered unto you. Seek and you shall find, right? Whatever it is, I mean, the promise is there, right? So
I'm just saying right here, he's just saying, stop with your own thoughts and go with mine. So I'm sort of saying, well, okay, just tell me how to do that.
well, the first part of doing that is the asking. That's
Gotta,
the biggest part.
yeah, because if you're assuming you're not going to get an answer, you don't even ask.
Right? You don't even ask if you're assuming you're right. You're right. So it's just the it's again, it's the willingness and the trust. And you just write from there. And it's like we were talking about this last week. Regina was talking about this in her tips. And you just you trust that you're receiving what is within your highest ability to receive at this point, The highest thoughts that are available to me now.
Okay, cool beans.
Okay. Debbie's magnificent. I mean, we knew that, Debbie. I'm not questioning that. She wrote on the board that she was the magnificent sister of Connie and Jacqueline. Yes, you are. And Marge wrote, all daughters of Marge's. And Kathy's here. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Okay. So here we go.
11, maybe.
Yeah, and really that whole willingness is in that paragraph there. Remember that it's your thinking that's brought you to the point of needing healing. Relinquish your own thought and trade it for my point thought. That's the willingness point. And the next point that is made is that the only time to do that is now, not tomorrow or when I get home or when, it's really about doing it
When you
now.
might get your trusting act together.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, and then he talks about trust, of course. Go filled with my thought. Do not question the thought that is given. This is exactly what we were just talking about, right? Just go with it. Do not question the thought. Oh, that's just ego, right? I mean, that would be questioning the thought that's given. When you're tempted to question and to once again find your own thought, remember the purpose of your journey. Joyously choose my thought again. You will seem to have many temptations. You will seem to forget my thoughts completely for a time. Do not let that distress you. The thinking you do apart from me cannot hurt you. It can only delay your healing for a little while. So when you find you have forgotten, shake off the past and the memory of your forgetfulness. Now is a new moment. You help yourself by choosing my thoughts again now. Yeah, and I think I've mentioned previously how what we tend to do is go, oh, I forgot to do what Jesus said, so I'm screwed for the rest of the day. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Or, I used to do that with the course lessons. Oh, I forgot to do that all day. When it would come, oh, I'm such a bad course student. So when it would come back up in my, and this latest go around, I went, wait a minute, that's the reminder. It's just ego gets it all distorted. And so you think, so you want to fall back into your usual habits, which is just being down on yourself, right? Instead of using that as an opportunity to then choose this thought again.
Yeah, instead of letting it be a barometer, you just let it point to the bad jacket.
Right. Well, and not even, yeah, instead of letting it be a reminder. Oh, now's the time to do your lesson.
Right.
Yeah, now let it point back to the bad jacket. Exactly. There is never backward movement on this journey. You can only walk forward on the path to healing with me. When you forget and seem to fail, you have not failed or slipped backwards. You've only stopped and stood in one place for a time. When you're ready to continue forward with me again, I am waiting there beside you, ready to take your hand and go forward with you.
How sweet.
To love God, to love yourself, and to love another is all the same.
Sweet, sweet. It's just, I don't know how else to say it. It's just really sweet. It's like, I'm not scolding you. I'm just saying, here I am. I'm ready to take you to eternal bliss if you just want to agree in here. And if you don't, okay, I'll be here when you're ready.
Very sweet.
Yeah.
This is the one lesson I would have you learn. Let's read it again. To love God, to love yourself, and to love another is all the same. This is the one lesson I would have you learn. There is among anyone or anything within your mind. It is all one within the mind of God. Yeah. There's never any backward movement. That is encouraging. I think that's what Kathy's saying is encouraging. How would you learn this lesson? All is one within the mind of God. How would you learn this lesson? First, you must give up judgment.
Oh my God, there it goes again. You kind of ask that over and over again, don't you?
For when you judge, you separate and see differences. And in this seeing, you cannot see that it is all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the difference, you know, between, I mean, there's judgment and forgiveness. Those are your two options. And forgiveness is allowing everything to be exactly as it is all the time. And judgment is going, I don't know, it's not nearly as good as it was last time. Or she's not nearly as pretty as her sister. Right? Or whatever. Not you in particular. You should see the look on Connie's face. No, I don't mean that.
I've been told that enough, okay?
No, but really. I mean, but you know, that's what we do is we compare. Instead of, you know, I'm not nearly as comfortable as I would be if they'd turn the air conditioner on or off. You know, it's the same thing that we've been looking at with this, you know, Fred Davis was saying that this is the foundation of the dream, is this wanting something to be different, and we know that, right? And that if you can, and it's the foundation of the personal self, and to the extent that you can give up needing something to be different, is the extent that you're able to give up your own suffering.
Yeah, And I don't know that I can say it again, but I thought it was, and I know you said you didn't hear a whole lot new, but in that, was it Michael Singer that we did for the other class?
The Surrender Experiment, yeah.
Yeah, with him talking about looking at things and discerning whether it was a preference or not.
Right.
And realizing that if it was a preference, then, you know, we ought to give it up.
Yeah.
And that was his barometer.
Is this just a preference? And if so,
then don't do anything about it. Let it be like it is.
Let it be like it is. It's just a preference.
Cool.
Yeah. Jesus says, Holy Spirit says, go within your mind and watch the process that you call thinking as it goes on there. What you will observe is that it is a constant process of dividing, judging, selecting, and specifying. It is the calculation that defines separateness. It is everything except the acceptance of truth.
Not the truth.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way that we hold ourselves apart from the moment, like we were talking about a moment ago, we hold ourselves apart from everything in this way. That's exactly this process of separation. Oh, well. If she was a little bit nicer, then we would join. We would have a real joining.
A little thinner, a little happier,
yeah.
A little richer.
Then everything would be okay. It is everything except the acceptance of truth. This is why I've asked you to lay down your own thoughts. But I understand that before you choose to do so, you must come to see that what you think has value, you must come to see that which you think has value as being truly valueless. And this is the case with your thoughts. For as long as you hold on to them and cherish them, you cannot see the truth that is before you now. They are like a veil that hides the light of heaven from your sight. And so this is what we talk about when we talk about, you know, the need to be right. And you know, I truly believe that if you drive an automobile, you ought to be polite and let every other car in, or whatever your rules are, right? And it's not just driving, it's not, obviously not just driving a car, it's for everything. If you own a home, you ought to be able to wash your dishes. If you know, I, ooh, look at her, she didn't wash her dishes today, right? Oh, she can't park her car. Look how it's closer to that white line than the other white line. I mean, all of these rules that we make and we listen to. And these are the rules of separation. These are the rules that we continue to use to judge and to bind ourselves within this separate world. I mean, we're like, I want to be all about oneness. I want to be all about oneness. Look how she parked her car.
I know. But then, oh, I can't do my course list anymore. Close the book and let's start immediately right into the judgments stuff. And you know, no wonder this, I mean, this world is exhausting enough without that. Those judgments are just exhausting.
Yeah, and they're going on all the time.
Yes.
And that's why I will not value the valueless, Kathy wrote, and then left the room. She's going to her Mac. Yeah, it is exhausting, and that's the veil that hides the light of heaven. And we're like, why can't I see heaven? Why can't I see heaven? Well, shut up for a minute. Right? Quit spewing out your judgments. Quit believing the thoughts. It's just like what Mickey Singer was saying on the surrender experiment. You just got to quit believing that stuff. You got to quit believing that voice in your head. It runs all the time. And he was like, you know, I hear crickets in the background. He's like, that's what the mind's like. Cricket, cricket. And pretty soon, if you just start ignoring it, it just becomes part of the background, just like the crickets, right? These thoughts that run in your mind. These thoughts that run on your mind run on your belief in these underlying rules. That's the fuel for them.
Well, and as much as that, it runs on the belief that I think I'm right. I think I know something. You know, I know how this world works. I know what works in this world and what doesn't. And I know what you're doing doesn't work.
Nor should it. Are you up far enough?
Not far. Yeah, because let me show you how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, and we really believe that. Yeah, and so we try to practice forgiveness. As long as I get to be right, I'll forgive you.
That's right.
You must be having a bad day, or you'd know to do it the way my rules are set up in my mind.
Yeah, and that is so subtle, because you think you're really practicing forgiveness, but it's still there, because there's a trace of that, you know.
Righteousness.
Yeah, that self-righteousness that is so yucky and sucky and all those yucky words.
This is why I've asked you to lay down your own thoughts. But I understand that before you choose to do so, you must come to see that which you think has value as being truly valueless. So this is what we're talking about, giving up these rules. They're really valueless. We think that they're valuable. We think that these rules keep us safe. We think that these rules help us to control our world and keep us safe within our rule world and tell us, you know, who we are. But the truth is, they are valueless. There is no value in them. And it's that transition that's being talked about here. You have to come to see and come to believe that the rules that you make up are not valuable.
Yeah, I know.
So I've been told. And this is the case with your thoughts. For as long as you hold on to them and cherish them, you cannot see the truth that is before you now. They're like a veil that hides the light of heaven from your sight. I ask this of you. Remember these famous words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then, remember, there is no division in this statement. It is all the same. It is all one love. See the thoughts in your mind that block this love from your experience, and then willingly lay them aside. And that's it, because Because you'll see, I mean, while we talk about this, and we do, and I know we talk about this all the time, these rules and how we adhere to them and we think we're right about them, but it's hard to see how they're how they actually work in this divisive manner. But it is a division, because again, our alternative is to allow everybody to be as they're being. Right?
And that seems like that ought to be the easy way. It's just to say, oh man, I don't care what's going on. I'm just going to let everybody be as they are. Because otherwise,
you're building grievances against every single person you run into in every single situation. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So the alternative is to just love everybody and everything and just let it be. Let it all be the way it is. So the point here, it says, see the thoughts in your mind that block this love from your experience. So your thoughts, your rules, your need for things to be different than they're coming out is what blocks your experience of the love that is.
Yeah, so once again, and I know this has been said before, but once again, everything becomes a barometer. Which way is it pointing? Which way is it long? If I'm upset, then there's a barometer that there's something misguided in my thinking right now. Let me look at this again because I don't want to be upset. And so it can be just a gentle thing that says, no, turn away from this. See this differently.
Yeah. Yeah. Look within. Don't point at that person and go, oh, you're messing up.
Or just be willing to say, you know, whatever is, I'm willing to love and accept that or allow it. What is the thing we're reading for the class? The allow and accept.
Loving all method.
Yeah, loving all method.
Yeah. See the thoughts in your mind that block this love from your experience and then willingly lay them aside. Each time you do, a prayer is sent to heaven upon the wings of your willingness, asking that you may lay all judgment aside and see the truth of heaven. As you listen to my words and practice what I say, resistance will come up in your mind telling you that doing all that I say is not rational or sensible. This thought will imply that you will somehow suffer or regret listening to me. When this thought comes, remember that I told you it would. Then place it aside and continue to listen to me.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, you've just got the two things going on there. You know, you truly believe the things that you believe will keep you safe. That those rules will keep you safe. And so when you're confronted with giving those rules up, you're like, right, and let people walk all over me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my identity, and I'm going to protect it, by golly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, even in that Michael Singer interview, they're like, so we should just let people walk all over us? And he's like, no, 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 that's not what I said at all. But that's where we go. Okay. Yep, that's pretty much it. You believe what you believe. Chapter 11, NTI Luke chapter 11. How shall you pray? Prayer is the unceasing act of thought. With every thought, you pray for everything or for nothing at all.
Oh my, what a responsibility.
How then shall you think? It's the same question, right, as how shall you pray?
Right.
If thought is prayer, how shall you think? I have already asked you to think with me by accepting my thoughts and laying your own thoughts aside. My thoughts are these. They are thoughts of forgiveness, love, acceptance, gratitude, and rejoicing. Whenever you are not listening to my thoughts, you will know because you will not be at peace and you will not be happy. And that's what you were just saying. This is not a time to chastise yourself, for chastisement is not among the thoughts that I give. You see, because the thoughts that I give are thoughts of forgiveness, love, acceptance, gratitude and rejoicing. Those are the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. Chastisement is not one of those thoughts. So if you, you know, it's just double dipping into the ego.
Yeah, a double dip is. Now you're twice removed.
Right, right. If you are tempted to chastise yourself for forgetting me, you must again be listening to your own thoughts and praying for nothing. This is the time that you should ask for your daily bread. This is a time of forgiving your own thoughts by laying them aside and again opening your heart to me.
Uh-oh.
Ask and it will be given you. Hey, I have heard those words before. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Yeah. This is a time of forgiving your own thoughts by laying them aside and again opening your heart to me. And it's interesting because we've been talking with Regina in our gentle healing class about this daily bread, right? About the contemplation and the fruits of contemplation being your daily bread. So it's really sweet that this comes in here and is talking to us about asking for our daily bread. You know, if we're not experiencing thoughts of forgiveness, love, acceptance, gratitude, and rejoicing, then we need to ask for our daily bread, right? Give me some of that forgiveness, love, acceptance, gratitude, and rejoicing, please.
Hey, Mom.
Right? And there's the promise. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Your Father is the extension of love. That's really incredible. Your source is the extension of love. You are love. This is what you were created for. This is what you were meant to do. This is how you experience your happiness.
Yeah, and I tell you, it's the only thing that seems to make this, I mean, to know that that's the case, is the only thing that really makes this seem worthwhile, this whole spiritual path.
Or any path, for that matter. I mean, because you're not going to find it, you know, when you get to be our age, 55, and I won't say how old Connie is, but she's older than me. But when you get to be our age, I mean, you look around and you're like, man, because you've tried all those avenues.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm done with that. Your Father is the extension of love, and His love has been poured out upon you. It is His only gift. Anything that is not of the gift of our Father is of nothing. And so it is meaningless. That's the word I was looking for. You look at the world around you and you see that you truly see the valuelessness, the meaninglessness there. And you know that that the rewards that are offered outside of you are at the very best, they're fleeting.
Yeah. Yeah, and they come with all kinds of attachments and expectations and
they're bargains. Yeah.
Yeah, they're bargains, and they come, even those bargains come far and fewer in between.
Yes. Yeah. None of them work. Temporary satisfaction. That's right. Anything that is not of the gift of our Father is of nothing, and so it is meaningless and it has no value. Lay that aside and accept the gift given to you by our Father. And that is the extension of love. Your mind, this is NTI Luke chapter 11, verses 14 to 28. Your mind is split. Within you there is great willingness to do all that I ask you to do. And within you there is great resistance that guides you away from the practice I ask you to seek. Let us look at your resistance that you may be aware of its ploys.
It's being the egos, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right. Yes. Then you will be able to recognize it and to choose not with your resistance, but with your willingness.
The Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that's the choice, the ego or the Holy Spirit.
Right. Your resistance will distract you away from me. It will give you thoughts that seem to need to be thought, problems to think through and solve.
All that stuff for this love. Let me think about this one. I'll solve this problem.
Right, right. Yeah, and I've been hearing, this is another thing that seems to be coming up for me lately. I've been hearing it from a number of teachers. This idea that, I remember Locke Kelly asked me in that Satsang interview we did with him, who are you right now if there's, no, maybe he didn't say who are you, but if there's no problem to be solved. He may have said who are you, I think. But who are you right now if there's no problem to be solved? And I heard Fred Davis asking that same question. I think ultimately that's your thinking mind is the problem solver, and we all get stuck in that, you know. And then next Tuesday I'm going to have to do that, and how am I going to get there? Between, you know, so there's, you're always working something out in your mind, and if you're willing to let go of that thought, suddenly there are no problems to be solved. I mean, you know, it's just that identification with needing to fix something that is the problem.
Well, yeah, and I think the whole world set up that. We talked about that, I think, maybe last week about the movie When a Man Loves a Woman. Is that it?
Mm, yeah.
And that was his whole identity was saving her from her drinking problem. Or just fixing things for her. I mean, don't worry about this baby. I'll fix it. Don't worry about the kids. Don't worry about the, you know, I'm the fixer. That's why you married me.
Right. Yeah. Your resistance will distract you away from me. It will give you thoughts that seem to need to be thought, problems to think through and solve. It will give you things to do that must be done if you are to be seen as worthy by the outside world. Those are those rules, right? Yeah, our adherence to those rules. It will throw confusion at you so that what once seemed clear when you heard my word becomes muddled and unclear, so that you are unsure what to do. It will ask you questions, and you will seem to need to know the answers in order to put your trust in me. And so you will go out in search of satisfactory answers when satisfactory answers cannot be found. It will offer you diversions that seem to bring great joy and pleasure into your life within the world. It will bring doubt into your mind so that you will have a desire to find out what is true without giving of your trust.
All the ploys of the ego. Yeah.
What are you to do when tempted by your own resistance? Notice it for what it is. Do not let it disguise itself as something important. See it as resistance and call it by its name.
S.O.B.
Then give it to me, backed by the strength of your willingness. Together we will redirect your attention to the path you have set out on. Blessed are those who hear my word and heed it in willingness and joy. Yeah, it's just that constant choice, you know, constantly choosing again. Yeah, but I gotta fix this. If I don't fix it, who will? Right?
Yeah. And once again, it seems a little redundant to say, but it's so powerful that the only choice there is a choice between the ego and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the only choice we ever have in this life. It may look different, but that's it.
That is fundamentally, that's the only choice. But I think this is a great list here of the ego's ploys.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Write them down and put them on
my forehead.
Oh, look, Jack, well, there it is.
Right. Yeah. All right. We are on page 150 of NTI, Luke chapter 11. Verses 29 through 32. Your resistance is nothing more than your desire to keep things the same, to keep things as you see them now. Boy, that ought to be convincing. You want the status quo, keep it up. Your resistance is nothing more than your desire to keep things the same, to keep things as you see them now. And you desire this because you desire safety, and you think there is safety in the security you have made. And yet, you fear yourself and what you have made also. You are safe, but you're not secure, for security knows no illusions of fear. Let me lead you to both safety and security, which is known through the knowledge of your safety. Safety comes from the guarantee of who you are. And that should sound a whole lot like nothing, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. That's this point here, right? But we think we have to create ourselves in such a manner that we'll be kept safe. Create our worlds in such a manner that we'll be safe.
Yeah, because we think for the most part we've kept ourselves safe up to now. Well, look how old I am, and, you know, I got all my limbs. You know, I'm fairly safe.
Right, right. And you want me to give up the tiller?
Right.
Yeah. I hear somebody here is having trouble with the sound. I don't know about, I assume you all would have told us if you couldn't hear us before now. I don't know what to say to the Mako.
Scoot up again.
Marge says the sound is good.
Okay.
All right, so let's see where we are. Okay, verses 33 to 36. The knowledge of your safety takes away all images of fear. In knowing yourself, you can know no fear. This is the light that shines from within to shine on everything you see, to shine away all imagined darkness, and to show you only peace, love, and joy. This light you shall share with all the world through your natural love of light. Resistance will sometimes seem to be the light, and so you must listen closely within your own mind that you know where your instructions and desires come from. Resistance will sometimes be subtle, and so you must listen closely within your mind so that you know where your instructions and desires come from. A useful question to ask whenever you are prompted to fill your time with anything is, what is it for? When you ask, remember the purpose of time. It is for your healing. It is for healing your mind. Excuse me. When you ask, remember the purpose of time. It is for healing your mind. This is its only purpose. If you are using time for any other purpose, you are not using time at all. Ask, what is it for? And listen honestly for your reply. Any answer other than the healing of your own mind is but a delay in the purpose of your healing. Anything that is not a part of your purpose is a part of nothing. So if you ask, what is it for, and you find that you have given this time another purpose, then ask yourself, what do I want? When you answer this question with the answer of your heart, you find the means and willingness to change the purpose of the current time. And this change is but a correction brought about by your Holy Spirit, which knows your purpose and knows what time is for. Yeah, I mean, and this is all the stuff that we've all been doing, you know, with Regina here in the gentle healing group. You know, it's like, or before for that matter, it's about identifying your spiritual aspiration, and just you know, just being aware, being vigilant. What were you saying?
That reading we had to do this week, yeah, this the desires for liberation, seems that it's consistent with that. You know, what are you using? You know, are you gasping for that next breath? Is that where you, how are you? I mean, are you watching TV? What are you doing? How deep is your desire for liberation? That's your first real need.
Amen. Hey, Bart. Okay, and Vimako, I'm glad you're hearing better without the hearing aids. Yeah, you maybe want to try earbuds too. Okay, so here we are. We have 10 minutes left. We are at NTI Luke chapter 12, page 151 of NTI. Now let's talk about the work you are to do. You are aware that there will be resistance, great resistance. Do not lose this awareness and always be on guard. When resistance arises in your mind in any form, let it go immediately in gratitude as valueless.
Once again, it's just a barometer.
Yeah, well, and really noticing the resistance, you should be gratitude should be grateful that you've seen it. I mean, then you know that it's working, that you're developing the ability of discernment.
Right. Yeah. And it's simply there's a different way.
Yeah. And if you're grateful, then of course you won't repress it. Right?
Yep.
So that's the happy learner that we heard about in A Course in Miracles. The happy learner doesn't repress. The happy learner takes its lessons, his or her lessons. The work you are to do is within the mind. It is a work of being aware, not of the world, but of your thoughts about the world. Right now, you think you are focused on the world. You think you are focused on relationships, work, entertainment and rest, but I tell you that you are not focused on any of these. You never have been. Even your thought that you are focused on the world is an illusion within the mind. Yeah. Cheryl says awareness of this is so huge, then we can be grateful. What you are focused on and have always been focused on is thought. In every moment in your seeming interaction with the world, you are focused on thought. And because you see yourself as a separate entity within the world, you are focused on thoughts that seem to be generated within the private mind that belongs to you.
Yeah, so what you're really focused on is thoughts about yourself. Yeah?
Yeah, and it's all filtered through that.
Yeah.
Let's look very carefully at this process of which you are barely aware, and yet it defines everything that you think, believe, and do. Whenever you look at anything with the body's eyes, there are thoughts in your mind about that thing. If you look at a chair, for example, you may think it is pretty, worn out, available, desired, not desired, clean, dirty, etc., etc. The thoughts that come into your mind seem automatic, without any awareness or evaluation on your part. You may make judgments about the chair based on your thoughts, and you may choose to sit there or not sit there based on your judgment. But you never look at, evaluate, or question the thoughts you hold about the chair. And this is only a chair. And of course, I think for everybody in this room, we do think about our thoughts about the chair. I mean, that's what we're beginning to do. That's what our discernment and our willingness and our vigilance are allowing us to do, is to see that no, a chair is not just intrinsically a chair, that all the meaning this chair has for me, I have given it, right? And we're beginning to look at our thoughts and realize the impact of our thoughts on those things around us. Actually realize the impact of our thoughts on ourselves. Is what I mean to say. The process that you call thinking, of which you are mostly unaware, goes on within your mind regarding everything in your world. You make unevaluated judgments. And this is what we're just saying. No, we are beginning to evaluate, at the very least, evaluate our judgments, right? We're not going blindly about, hopefully we're not going blindly about, believing that, you know, that there really is, that that really is a good chair, and that's really a bad chair, or that's a good Connie, and that's a bad, yeah, and that's a bad Dolores, or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's what I was saying about that experience I had in my office this afternoon, is that, when I got so upset, I thought, oh my gosh, what identity do I have tied to this, because that's where my judgment, if I'm angry, if I'm not with the love, peace, and joy of God, if I'm angry about something, then I have to be participating in the illusion of this self-identity and trying to find it, and, or trying to hold on to it, or trying to do whatever with it, trying to manipulate it, or why would I be angry?
Yeah. So what is it that I'm believing?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's got me angry.
Right. What am I believing about this? Exactly.
Yeah. Listening to the voice in my head as if it's me. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the alternative, right? That's the unevaluated judgment. Exactly, Kathy. It says you make unevaluated judgments about the work you do, the relationships you have, the pastimes you choose, and the person you think of as yourself. These unevaluated judgments define everything and everyone within your world, and they are allowed within your mind without your awareness or your questioning or your evaluation. So this is the work that I ask you to do. I ask you to slow down your pace a bit. You may choose how you will slow it down. Pick a method that seems most comfortable to you now, but find a way to reduce the distractions in your life. And, of course, that's the same thing we're hearing from Michael Langford. That was the same thing that Regina, that was actually Regina's, in her tip for the day, that's what she got today, about slowing it down. Find a way to reduce the distractions in your life, so you can take the time to become aware of the thoughts that seem automatic in your mind. What are these thoughts? What are they saying to you? Why are you listening to them? Are they thoughts of love? Yeah. Do not worry what you will do with these thoughts as you evaluate them. I will be with you, present in your mind, as you undertake this work of looking and questioning. For now, it is simply useful to become aware of the thoughts you think and are focused on when you think you're focused on the world. Yeah, and Regina, I've got notes in my book here. It says, Regina recommends journaling to do this. Start with the obvious and question every thought or belief that flows from there. And of course, we know this is, as many of us know, this is root cause analysis.
I was going to say, because in my margins, I've written, what are my assumptions about this, which is the root cause.
Yeah, what are you focused on when you think you're focused on the world? What am I believing about myself and the world that I live in?
Yeah, what are those underlying beliefs? Yeah. What are those assumptions that in the rapid pace of the world, I don't even know I'm making until I slow down and remember my purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, remember my true desire.
Exactly.
Yeah. You may ask why you should do this work, especially when there is resistance telling you that you have better things to do with your time. I tell you that until you have evaluated the thoughts that are within your mind, you are unaware of why you do the things that you do.
That always reminds me of that movie, the Brothers, and he goes,
"Oh brother, where art thou?"
Yeah, when he goes, and they're down by the sirens. He goes, "Come on, we have bigger fish to fry."
That's right. He said, "All my sins have been forgiven." And have been washed away and forgiven, and heaven hereafter is my eternal reward. And the guy says, "Dilma, talking about? Come on, we have bigger fish to fry. We do not have bigger fish to fry. These are the biggest fish we have. But seriously, Holy Spirit says here, I tell you that until you've evaluated the thoughts that that are within your mind, you are unaware of why you do the things that you do. Without the awareness that comes from this evaluation, can you be sure that you are storing up the treasures that you once stored up? If your time is spent based on the judgments made by thoughts that are not truly valuable to you, whose treasure are you storing up? Is it truly yours? Yeah, and that's why we look again to the our guiding light, our barometer, our true desire. What do we truly want? If you look at your thoughts, evaluate them, determine that they are valuable to you, and then make your life by following these thoughts, well, then you can be sure that you're storing up treasures that have meaning. So first, look at your thoughts. Then, when you have become aware of the thoughts you have allowed there, we will evaluate your thoughts together according to what is truly valuable to you.
Sweet.
Sweet, sweet. Okay. Thanks, guys, for letting us share. And we love you all. And
good night.
Good night. See you next week.